Hello, and welcome to the Nourishing Podcast with your host, Melanie Angelis from the Grecian Garden and Emily Morgan from Nourishing Mama. All information shared on this podcast relating to specific conditions, healthcare, preventative care, and healthy lifestyles is presented for general educational purposes only. Today, we will be speaking with Shirley Braden from Gluten Free Easy. Shirley is the author of the successful blog GlutenFreeEasily.com and AllGlutenFreeDesserts.com. Shirley develops gluten-free recipes that are easy with accessible ingredients. She is a conference speaker and the previous support group leader for the King George Gluten Intolerance and Celiac Group. Welcome, Shirley.
Hi, thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm glad to be talking to you on the phone. It's just going to be my voice today. Melanie has a little bit of laryngitis, so we're going to say that she's here in spirit today. So if you just hear my voice, that's why. Tell me a little bit about your gluten-free journey and how it all began.
Well, my journey is long, but the gluten-free part has only been since 2003. I've actually had issues all my life, not having any idea that it was related to gluten, until I started down a particular path in 2001 and eventually ended up with a doctor who said, "I'm 99% sure that all your problems are gluten." And long story short, I went gluten-free, and it just totally changed my life.
Did you notice something right away change when you changed your diet?
I actually got a little bit worse at first, which, you know, some people do. And so if people don't see immediate results, I try to share my experience and encourage them to hang in there. I'm one of those people that kind of went through a detox. And part of that might be due to the way I was eating right before I went gluten-free, because my doctor's advice was eat everything you want that's full of gluten and then no gluten. So that's what I did. And I ate a lot of gluten that last week. So a later doctor said that probably made your transition a little bit worse. And she could be right.
Yeah, that sounds like that could definitely make it a little worse.
But some people say... Some even experts say that there is a detox effect for a lot of people, you know, getting those toxins out of your system so you actually feel worse before you feel better. And that's kind of what happened to me. And then I felt better incrementally. So, you know, I remember feeling better at a month, a little teeny bit better, and then 3 months, and then 6 months. And I really felt optimum at 2 years. I just remember 2 years I felt like I was doing everything I should be able to do. And it's amazing how quickly you take things for granted that have returned to your life, you know, or disappeared from your life that you really didn't know were so much impacted by gluten. Because one of my issues before going gluten-free was knee problems.
Oh, yeah?
And I'd been told that I was probably, you know, developing osteoarthritis because my mother has that. So I would actually avoid going up and down the stairs. And, you know, my husband would be bringing things up and down for me. And I realized about 6 months in that I was just running up and down the stairs.
That's fantastic.
And, yeah, it was just, you know, huge. You know, so, of course, you know, when you're feeling this great, then you start sharing it with everyone. And that's why I ended up starting a support group and, you know, eventually my blog and all.
Okay.
So I know you're going to get to that.
Yes, that's my next question. So I guess from that you started blogging. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I started the support group first.
Okay.
Because, you know, I wanted to help people locally and face-to-face. And so a friend and I started the group initially, and it was just a very small group. We were meeting at our local health food store. And we were just, you know, the first time we told our stories, and, you know, people were very interested. And then we would meet and just share, you know, gluten-free treats, that type of thing. And it was okay, but, you know, we needed more than that. So eventually we progressed that we were meeting at my house, and every meeting we would start with a gluten-free meal, a complete meal. And, you know, our focus has always been on real food that's naturally gluten-free. And so that was, like, the best introduction to people to gluten-free living, because they would have this fantastic meal, and they would think, there's no deprivation here.
Right.
And that was always the best part of our meetings.
Well, that's the easiest way to start is face-to-face, and then you build that, you know, that repertoire with people, and they want to hear more of what you had to say and how your life and things that you're doing can better your life. So that's fantastic.
Right. And in some cases, people would come to maybe one meeting or two meetings, and they wouldn't come back because they'd get it.
Right, right.
And that was fine with us. That was totally fine. I mean, they'd stay on our newsletter list. You know, we'd hear from them now and then, or maybe they'd come to our annual open house events just to say hi or hear a special speaker. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, they got it, and they were off on their own doing great, kind of spreading the word to everybody else.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So
thank you.
Going gluten-free can be a big change, obviously, and especially it can be an emotional one because so many people are attached to their gluten. What are some emotional challenges that maybe you've seen in people, and how can they overcome them?
Well, I've actually written about this on my blog. I mean, a lot of the stages, I mean, really you can just map them just like, you know, as Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's stages of the grieving.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the denial, anger, depression, all of that can definitely be tied to gluten. And not everybody experiences them the same way. And, you know, eventually you get to acceptance. And I say there's even a further stage after that, which is embracement. And I came up with that by talking to a friend of mine. I have so many gluten-free friends, and, you know, that's partly just from being a support group leader, partly from being a blogger.
Right.
And we just, you know, most of us have long ago we let go of the anger and all, because you can't live that way.
No, yeah.
And you learn to cope. You know, initially it's just, you know, another friend said it's like, learning to speak a foreign language.
Yeah.
At first, living gluten-free really does seem that way. You know, reading labels, just figuring out how to navigate social situations, dealing with family, holiday events, all that just seems so overwhelming. But, you know, you just take it a little bit by bit, and then soon enough, you know, it's like nothing. It's just like part of your life. It's like breathing.
Yeah. Would you feel?
Some people don't. Pardon?
I was just going to say, in my experience, it feels kind of like you're isolated, like there's nobody else there at first, and then you find all these other people that are right there to support you and understand where you're coming from.
Right. Yes. Yeah. The law of attraction,
right,
so to speak. And, you know, before you weren't tuned into it, there were probably all these gluten-free people out there before, but you weren't tuned into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I kind of compare it to when you buy a new car, you know, whether it's a different color or a different model, you suddenly start seeing all those cars on the road.
Yeah, that's very true.
You never noticed them before.
Very true.
Right.
So, some gluten-free tips to make the transition a little bit easier. I know you said reading labels, but what are some of your tips that maybe you give out at your on your blog or with your support group?
Well, I just, you know, I kind of repeat the same thing, and it seems like it's too simple, but it is the reality, and the easiest thing is just to go gluten-free by eating real food.
Mm-hmm.
It's naturally gluten-free, and people are like, oh, yeah, that's so boring, but that is the reality. And, you know, like I said about my support group, you know, holding the dinners there at the very beginning, and people would see, oh, that's how I can do it.
Yeah.
So if you focus on that food, first of all, and then some mainstream foods that are naturally gluten-free, and then very few specialty products.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know people who've gotten hooked on certain products, and then they're stashing them all under the bed because, you know, they're afraid the company's going to go out of business.
Yeah.
I'm serious. And, you know, that's just not the way to live, I don't think.
Right,
And, you know, it's expensive, and that kind of keeps that gluten-free living as hard. You needed all these special products. It's more expensive. It keeps that train of thought going.
Yes, definitely.
And my whole approach is not to have that at all. Plus, I think one of the biggest things for going gluten-free and being successful with it is you want your food to taste the same as it always did. And you want your family and friends to be on board.
Yeah.
And if you do it this way, they are going to be on board. I mean, you know, after they've eaten it and raved over it, you can say, oh, by the way, that was gluten-free. Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Yes, it was naturally gluten-free. Or, you know, I used almond flour to make those cookies. You know what I mean?
Yep. I understand 100%, and I think you've already answered this next question, but I'm going to ask it and see if there's anything else you want to add to it. The gluten-free diet can be portrayed as being impossible and expensive. And what are some of the solutions that you've come up with? And we've kind of touched on a few of those, like the real foods and things. But do you have anything else that you can share with our listeners?
Well, I kind of say stay away from the gluten-free section.
Yeah, absolutely.
Focus on all the foods that you can eat. I have added more foods to my diet than I ever thought possible. You know, fruits and vegetables I'd never heard of or wouldn't try before. You know, so it's a much more vibrant food experience for me and can be for others than it ever was before.
Yeah.
And as far as that gluten-free section, I mean, the reality is we all know that the gluten-free section is really all about treats.
And processed
really
food. Yes, it is. So.
And most of them don't compare to anything you can make yourself at home.
That's absolutely true.
I focus on, you know, flourless recipes because they're so easy to make gluten-free and you can use items right out of your pantry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're usually a lot more expensive in that gluten-free section because they've got you... Oh, it's easy this and it's easy that, but yeah, stay away from the gluten-free section is a good tip. Have you noticed any other improvements in your family since going gluten-free? I know you said the knee problems and then all the emotional problems, but in your family as well?
Well, my son is gluten-free and dairy-free.
Okay.
Excuse me, he's 27 now, and he had to come to that on his own. He was never officially diagnosed, but he had definitely had dermatitis herpetiformis, but they actually tested him incorrectly for that, too. Most people don't know that when you're tested for that with the skin biopsy, it's not supposed to be done right on the lesion. It's supposed to be done a margin away from that, so they tested him incorrectly. But anyway, he continued to have problems, so finally when he was 19, almost 20, he decided he was going to do it. And that was without me nagging him. When people go gluten-free, they really have to come to it on their own. You can tell people, you know, in your family. You can, you know, show them. But really, they have to come to it on their own. And certainly, I think that, you know, my approach helps them come to that. But, and then eventually he went dairy-free and all as well. But also, I have an aunt who went gluten-free and a cousin's son who went gluten-free, you know, after learning more about it from me. And my husband's not strictly gluten-free, but, you know, since I serve all gluten-free food, he'll eat out gluten and he'll drink a gluten-full beer type thing. But since all the food I cook is gluten-free and my meals are gluten-free, he's had like one sinus infection in 12 years compared to one or two a year before then.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, he doesn't have gluten issues, but it's better for him, you know, not to have it.
Yeah, I think that's with the general population. Most people that don't necessarily have gluten issues, it's just better for them to not have it the majority of the time.
Yeah, that's the way I feel.
Yes.
I feel it could benefit pretty much everybody.
So, Shirley, where can people learn more about you, and do you have anything new coming up?
Well, they can certainly learn more about me on my websites and my Facebook page. I share a lot of stuff there. Do I have anything new coming up? I have some ideas, but nothing that's totally set in stone yet, so I'd say no. I don't have any speaking engagements set right now. But, you know, stay tuned to those things, and I'll certainly be sharing it with everyone.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for talking with us, Shirley. I encourage everyone to check out Shirley's website, glutenfreeeasily.com, and allglutenfreedesserts.com. If you have any questions for us, please email us at thenourishingpodcast@gmail.com or check out our respective websites, thegrecianGarden.com and nourishingmama.blogspot.com. This is Melanie and Emily wanting you all to live a nourished life.